I can't see myself. I haven't fully extended the thingamajiggy.
Oh, yeah.
How do we look, though?
Actually, not too bad for a first go.
I feel unsettled because I can't, because it's on a slight twangy angle.
That's right at me.
So you feel really good about the situation.
I'm loving it.
Well, as long as one of us happy is happy, that's the main thing. Mark.
I think that's going to be a theme of the show.
One of us is happy?
Well, not one of us is happy, that like one of us is unhappy.
I'm happy.
Okay.
Well, no, we can't get into it straight away.
You're a happy-go-lucky kind of guy.
I am a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. I do like talking shit on the internet, which sometimes gets me a little bit of trouble.
This is true.
But for the most part, in life, you come across me. You don't come across many cheerier blokes, really.
Someone left a comment on... Remember we did a live stream for the first Lions test?
Yes.
And then we did a match review afterwards.
Oh, yeah, when I was right at the whiteboard.
You were the whiteboard.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that.
And somebody left a comment about you.
Saying what?
Saying, you know, people leave those I'm a simple man comments? Like, I'm a simple man. Yeah, he was like, I'm a simple man. I see Tony, I go watch something else. And I was like, Tony would appreciate that comment.
Tony
would love that comment. That. I meant to look up how many subscribers that video got. I'm sure it was in the positive, not the negative, but... that one guy was not a fan.
I like funny sass. I don't like someone just being like, this guy's an asshole.
Yeah, the guy with the hat.
I don't know, what a dick. He doesn't know shit. I'm like, okay, well, cool. It doesn't upset me massively or anything. It's only when I read like 16 of them around me.
What have I done with my life?
Yeah.
Why don't they like me?
Like, I like the ones that just have like a good little punchline.
Yeah. I didn't see that one coming.
No, yeah, I'm a simple man. And you think you're gearing up for
a nice
I see a video with Tony in it, I click it.
I know it's going to be hilarious or something like that.
Yeah,
nope.
No, it's just warming up for a sass attack.
There you go. Bit of internet sass.
I'm all here for it.
I gave my mother-in-law a little bit of sass today. I don't know if it was sass, but I usually try to keep a pretty harmonious relationship with my in-laws.
Yes,
who have been staying with me since May.
What a joyous occasion!
And they are here until very early September. So
it's your adequately sized house, but it's not a giant house.
There's no room to spare, really.
There's like, no room.
Literally,
at the
my
end.
Kids are having to share a room.
If I got kicked out of here on a random Tuesday and I was like, I've got nowhere to stay, Mark, can I crash with you? You'd be like, oh, mate. Well.
There's a two-seater couch you could sleep on. But my father-in-law gets up pretty early to have a cigarette, so he'll be waking you up at the crack of dawn.
So I'll be sitting there in tears, crying myself to sleep all night.
Just wafting secondhand smoke coming over your face.
Waking up to a elderly Asian Chinese gentleman smoking over me.
Basically.
And then I'll be thinking
he does smoke on the deck, so not right over you, but several meters away from you.
That'll be my rock bottom.
That's rock bottom.
All
that's
right.
Rock bottom. But she, because my kids have had the flu.
Yes.
I didn't get the flu, neither did my in-laws, but my mother-in-law insists on telling me every goddamn day that the kids don't wear enough.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a very Chinese thing. I used to get it all the time when I was in China. I'd just go to buy noodles and people like, look at the state of you, man. You're not wearing enough clothes.
Yeah.
But my kids don't really get sick very often. They often, their school wants to encourage attendance. So they give little certificates every term if you get
100%. Yeah.
They've got numerous certificates. And I just keep, I don't know why. Like, you know, the odd YouTube comment like has ground my gears before.
Yes.
For some reason, her just keeping on fucking saying they're not wearing enough. They're not wearing enough. I'm just taking it like, are you questioning my parenting skills, bitch? The fuck? So I had enough. Today I told her. It's not because they're not wearing enough. Look at all the certificates on the wall. I said it in a much calmer way than this. But I was like, look at all the certificates on the wall. I know you can't read them, but many of them are for 100% attendance. The fact that they are not all bundled up doesn't mean that's the reason they got sick. Sometimes you just get sick in winter.
Yeah, it's because
the kids are a freaking virus factory.
They didn't have 16 layers on. It's all your fault. You're a shitty dad.
Exactly.
That's what you were taking it
as.
That's
what I'm taking it as. But she's probably just like...
Can you tell me, Adel, with your angry Chinese voice in Chinese?
No, I wasn't even that angry. So I was still very calm.
I'll play the part, and I don't mean to do this in a racist way, but it might come out slightly racial.
Are we doing like a emotional damage kind of...
emotional damage!
Stephen He.
I hit myself. I always get him and Uncle Roger a little bit.
I think they've collabed before.
Yeah, they're very similar. For you. That's racist.
They do very exaggerated accents. But they sound accents.
Like they're both doing,
yeah, they both really lean into like a heavy Cantonese accent. Yeah, they both a Malaysian do. Accent.
Yeah. Emotional damage.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It is.
I think I've put that in my videos. If you
very guys. Popular.
Oh. But anyway, so you got through that situation. We don't have to role play it.
We don't need to role play it, but like I think within about an hour of me, not quite telling her off, but at least in my own diplomatic way, relatively sternly telling her that that's not the reason.
Well, you said, look, bitch, these motherfuckers go to school all the time. She still said
the same thing to my
missus. Look at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are stuck in their ways.
Yeah.
Lydia's big on making sure that our daughter wears clothes. She's Asian. And she's like... Even around the house, he's like, you haven't got a jumper on. And Madison's like, I'm fine.
Yeah, that's the thing. My kids will tell me, like, I'm cold. I'm going to go put a jacket on. Like, they're not retards. Oh, I can't use that word. Bleep it. They're not morons.
I'm not bleeping it. I can't be asked. It's out there. Sorry. You're a terrible person.
They're not stupid.
I only bleep things with ice.
Okay. They're not stupid. Power of the edit. They're not stupid.
Yes.
They know when to put clothes on.
Yeah.
Like, if they're cold.
Yeah, totally. And Madison runs hot, I think, as well.
Yeah, my kids as well. Like, if I make them get all bundled up and then we walk to school, because it's like a K, within like 200 meters, they're like, oh, I'm getting hot.
I woke up to a screaming fight between the two girls at the house this morning about where the Madison was wearing enough clothes. Mm. It was great. But look, this is what I got to tell you about my evening last night, right?
Oh, yes.
So, look, it's a roundabout of what?
We are going to talk about the Lions.
Are we?
It's basically the main item on the agenda.
So we've got a bit of shit talk to kill to fill in an hour here. We've got one game of rugby to talk about. But, so I put Maddie to bed about 7:30, right? Mm. It's game
kind of early.
Yeah. She was tired. She's
an early riser?
Yeah, she is.
There you go.
Part of the reason.
I'll let my kids sleep a bit later, but they sleep.
Yeah, they're up till 11, are they?
Not quite that.
Yeah.
Like 8:39.
Yeah, it's not bad. Anyway, so she went to bed at 7:30, and I was like, well, look, it's still 2 hours till the game the game comes on. So, and I had dinner, it was about 8 o'clock, watched Fifth Element.
Oh, it's a classic.
I've never seen it before.
I have seen it, I think, once, but back when it was fairly new. I might have, like, rented it on VHS. Yeah,
it was from 1997. It feels very
Bruce Willis that model.
Yeah, she's, hot as fuck.
She's very skinny.
Yeah, what's...
Is it Mila? No.
Something
she's like the one who was in Resident Evil?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, she's smoking. And actually does a pretty good performance of the Fifth Element. She is the Fifth Element herself.
Yes, it's a bit of a weird movie, I remember.
Of a weird movie. But one thing I was thinking, I was like, they just don't make movies like this just off solely original concepts that are just going to be one and done movies. You know?
Not really.
Now everything is a reboot or a franchise, part of a wider cinematic universe.
Yeah, I think all that content's kind of moved to streaming platforms. It doesn't go to the cinema anymore.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed the film. And it also reminded me, like, all the women characters are sexually objectified in the whole film. Like, if you're a female character, you're wearing literally nothing. Mm. That's the age that we grew up in. The good old days. But they just don't do that anymore.
Some would argue it's the men that have to do that now. Like, all the men have, like, shirtless scenes. Like, they all have to get jacked.
Yeah, they all have to take steroids and
All the men are under amazing pressure. Like, Hugh Jackman talks about, like, to get Wolverine fit, he had to know, like, 6 months in advance to plan, like, the day when he's doing a shirtless scene.
And take a shitloads of...
Shitload of roids and just don't eat anything weight.
You see a scene of him playing Wolverine when he's, like, for the first time, like, a 28-year-old or...
Yeah, he looks like a normal dude, relatively.
He's in okay shape. Yeah. There's a bit of loving tenderness on him.
Yeah.
And now he's freaking 30 years later and he's just
jacked.
Natural, eh?
Yeah,
good as gold. Needed his roid routine for 6 months to get to that stage. So I watched that movie and then the game started, and then I was actually behind the eight ball. The game had already been
underway. I was live streaming. You didn't call me at halftime and people were
surprised. I was behind the eight ball, and then
there were comments that Tony must be watching the league. The Warriors had already played.
Yeah,
they lost to the Titans.
Last place. They were last place and we lost to them. It was not good. We're still in the top four. Anyway, and then I heard this, Eddie!
Oh, no.
Eddie! I was like, oh, no. And that was while the game was going. It was just after Wright scored that incredible try.
Right. The sewer let you break.
The sewer from the sewer. I was like, oh my gosh. And then I heard that and I was like, oh God. And then I went up to Sarah. She's on a bunk bed in her room. And then she was like,
dangling off the end.
She was complaining about her stomach. And I was going to tell something was wrong. And I was like, oh no. And then I went back. And then I gave her a bowl and consoled her for a little bit.
Yeah.
Tried to check her out. Gave her some Pamol. And then
Pamol, the cure for 90% of under 10s like issues.
Chuck some Pamol over, go back to sleep. And then I gave her a bowl and then I woke up. Oh no, I didn't wake up. Then
Pamol's paracetamol, by the way.
Yeah. And then about when the Lions started scoring their other two tries, I heard her just wailing.
She's like, Daddy. Oh,
Daddy. And then I went up there. I want
the Lions to make a comeback.
And then I went up there.
Sorry, I'm making light of your daughter's agony.
No, it's fine. It's one of these things. And then I went up there and her whole bed, she was like, I'm sorry, I missed the bowl. And her whole bed's just covered in vomit.
She spewed. Oh, no.
Spewed everywhere, like big, chunky pizza vomit that she had for dinner. I was like, oh. And then you're just like, and she's upset. And this is the one thing you got to do when you're a parent is you can't be like, oh, for fuck's sake, why did you miss the bowl? Or you might have that micro thought for a second.
You have to be cool about it.
You just have to be like, it's okay. It's all right. So you just have to be like,
comforting and
100%. There for them. Yeah. So I just like very, very lightly. And Lydia helped and we got her down off the bunk, which is hard to get a kid when they're sick off the bunk. And then put her in the shower and all that sort of stuff. And then for the next 20 minutes, like 20, 25 minutes I spent like I was dealing with just wads and wads of vomit. Goodness so me. Much like getting all the bedding off the bed, getting the and I'm up on a bunk trying to do all the shit as well, which is quite difficult. You know, you've seen it out there. It's a very high bunk, so she's got a lot of floor space in her room.
Got up the step ladder and
so I'm up there dealing with tons and like I'm getting in it. Like, and then I'm having to like, you can't just throw it straight into the washing machine.
No, you need to clean off that vomit.
Because I had to like bundle all up and like some of her soft toys had vomit all over them. And then I had to go down to the laundry, which is a long way from her room. And then I'm just washing straight chunky food vomit. Like you get the melted cheeses everywhere and it's just, and these are the moments where you're just like, this is parenting. This parenting.
This part kind of sucks.
I was really engaged in that game, and then now I'm just like
cleaning
vomit, absolutely. And then she watched most of the second half with me because she just needed to sit on the couch. And she was very quiet, but she
pretty knackered.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, Madison, can't you see those direct head contact?
She's like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, that was my evening.
That's interesting that both all of our children were sick during this second Lions test. Mine were just like running fevers and just feeling miserable. So they were actually quite quiet.
Madison was fine as this morning. She just needed to get it. She was a bit tired today. But
get it out of her system.
Get it out of her system.
You know what you should have done?
What should have I done?
After you like cleaned up all that vomit, you know, you need to kind of treat yourself.
Treat myself.
What you could have done.
Are we reading?
Was go buy a rugby jersey.
Oh, yeah. A rugby jersey at rugbyrack.com.
Ruckrackrugby.com is the website.
So say it again.
But it's Ruck and Rack.
Ruck and Rack.
They do vintage rugby gear.
Ooh, ba-boom.
Do you want to read?
Okay, I'll read. This is why I've got my glasses on. So we both actually went on to this beforehand.
We had a wee browse.
He's so nice, he's going to send us our favorite jerseys. Isn't that what it's
like? I picked the $200 one, expensive one in the store, but they have heaps of cheap ones.
Yeah, no, he's just bought us some beer, so thank you very much for that. We really do appreciate it.
I went with the Max Gold, because I always do appreciate Max.
Oh,
with
it's Max Gold.
His name is Max, but it's M-A-X, but I got Max, because I'm clever like that, if you want to call that clever. But also, I went with the Gold, because I fucking love having this guy sponsor us, because he's rugby.
Yeah, what a ledge. What a legend.
I mean, I'm not saying anybody who wants to sponsor us for other, you know, but the industries can't. There's
some seriously cool ones up there. The old All Black jerseys, some real vintage stuff.
It's like really, a 1992 rugby All Blacks jersey. There was a big white collar. Like, that one's pretty, it's pretty sweet.
The two that I was looking at was the 1999 French jersey. These ones have sort of emotional emotional damage. There you go. So there's the one where they beat us in the 99 World Cup final when Geoff Wilson and who else was in that team? Tane Randall was the captain.
Yep.
Lomu was in that team as well. We got out to that lead at the front and then
we did.
And then
we were looking unstoppable.
And they just went all French in the second half. It was quite incredible. And the other one was it's Lions time. And the first time I can really remember being engaged in what was happening with the Lions was 1993 where Gavin Hastings led his men to New Zealand.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say Gavin Larson.
Like not the, Gavin Larson.
The cricketer.
Gavin Larson.
Slow, medium, slow.
Yeah, little bowl, medium bit of all-rounder. Pretty tricky on a green seamer.
Yeah, exactly.
Got
a swing.
No, Gavin Hastings playing Sean Fitzpatrick's men at that tournament, and they won the second test at Athletic Park, and then we won the third to clinch the series inside at Eden Park.
There you go.
Yeah, it was quite a series.
You remember it.
Yeah, the first test, it was a real kickathon. We scored a try in like the first 2 minutes.
Okay.
I think it might have been bloody, was it Lee Stensness might have scored in the opening.
Good old Lee.
Is he that, or it might have been a Ronnie Clark?
Okay. Father of Caleb.
Very early on, the first couple of minutes, and then it just turned into a real kickathon afterwards. I was at Andrew Coulomb's house that day.
Who's Andrew Coulomb?
He's a mate of mine.
Is he pretty cool?
He's a cool dude.
There you go.
I like him. Anyway, let's read this thing.
Rock and Rack Vintage.
There you go.
They got affordable rugby gear.
We've talked more about the 1993.
Well, they have gear going back to the 90s. That's why it's cool.
Yeah, exactly. And that you, it they, takes they you back putting to the
vintage in rugby vintage.
It takes you back to the time. That's what those jerseys do. Great conversation starters for other rugby heads as well.
Starting from £15, which is like 30 New Zealand bucks.
15 quid?
Kids gear, steal. Men's gear, well, women's gear.
Why have I got my glasses on?
Because you're going to read like there's a promo code.
Oh, there's a promo code. Viewers can use promo code. Look. Why is it your name?
I know.
Max. Distracted, Max. Anyway, viewers can use the code 2Cents5. Could have been 2CentsD.
2CGD?
Yeah, 2CGD works in five, but you know, that's right, to get 5% off their order. So nice. Yeah, go
worldwide shipping. That.
So the code's just there.
Website's down there.
The website will be somewhere on the screen as well. So 2Cents5. The number 5 to get 5% off the order. At some point, you could also pick out a couple of jerseys that might look good on the website and mention them to. Oh, fuck. We did that.
We just did.
I just read the instructions.
Exactly right. That was the instruction.
Part of the kimono.
Worldwide shipping.
That looks like a seriously cool site, though.
They get new stock in every week.
The only thing I object to about Max is his use of promo codes.
There you go.
Not his use of promo codes, his.
Wouldn't it be great if it was like, use the code like.
That's enough.
Distracted 5 for 5% off, or use like 2Cents10 for 10. And
yeah, 2Cents100 for us measures to ship it out to you. 2Cents110, I'll give you $10.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's just the way it works, isn't it?
But cheers, Max.
Yeah, thank you, Max.
Ruck and Rack Vintage.
Appreciate you, pal.
He's been a long sponsor in the pod in the past.
What a legend.
And here he is again.
He's a repeat offender.
Brought us some beers.
Thank you very much.
We do have Jimmy's beers for some NPC season. Jimmy, we got a lot of your beers.
You're always on the bench, Jimmy. You're always in our hearts.
You'll be coming off the bench strong.
Mm. And the NPC's coming up, so we're really looking forward to doing Baywatch.
There you go.
Bay of Plenty. We will do a full match coverage of the game Bay of Plenty versus Hawke's Bay.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a Battle of the Bays.
The battle. We're going to be hyped for it. It's all I'm going to talk about.
I'll take the Hawke's Bay side.
I would be quite comfortable with Hawke's Bay losing every single fucking game this year. That would be great Baywatch.
Nice.
I don't like
them. I don't see it happening.
It's one team I just don't like.
Man.
But I do like you, Jimmy. And I will drink your beer. Anyway.
There was rugby.
There was rugby. There was one game of rugby. A little one.
Actually.
Yes.
There were two, because there was the Tuesday game, which feels like ancient history.
I didn't watch it.
Okay.
But they did all right, didn't they?
Yeah, it was all right.
I think I watched some of the highlights.
The main game.
The main game. Let's get to that.
Second test.
90,000 people.
90,000 people at the G. In Melbourne.
At the G, baby.
Cricket ground. Aussie rules ground. Cathedral of Victorian sports.
The home of Australian sports, a lot of people say. Yeah, it looked a picture. It looked a picture.
It looked grand on the camera.
Yeah,
on the camera, on the video. the footage
on screen.
On screen, yeah, whatever you like.
It was a serious occasion. The eyes of the rugby world were on that spot. It was the epicenter of the rugby world.
That's it.
100%. And the game fucking delivered. And a classic. Absolute outstanding classic. Both teams came to play.
Yeah. One of
the greatest comebacks. One of the greatest turnarounds by the Wallabies.
That's right, because they were absolutely written off. They're supposed to be getting beaten by 14 points.
For the most part, an outstanding advertisement for the game itself. And I think all those players covered themselves in a tremendous amount of glory. Really, really feel for the Wallabies at the end of the day, and we'll get through. There's so much to unpack and break down, but as a whole, a fantastic game. Disappointing with how it all ended, but the Lions deserve the victory as well.
Sadly,
yep.
I feel like 90% of the discourse around that game is just going to be the final call. I hate it.
Yeah,
I really hate it when there's an 80th minute refereeing call.
It's pretty significant.
Goes one way or the other, which can be boiled down to, like, that's the turning point of the game. Like, despite the fact that there were numerous moments throughout the game, there are missed tackles, there are other tries that have been either allowed or disallowed, penalties that have been given or kicked. Multiple
scrum infringements and all sorts of things.
All these other things that go into the game, but it only comes down to that one call.
I think it's, at the end of the day, it's a 50-50 call, really, but
I would
say all the 50-50 calls feel like they've gone the Lions' way, Lions' favour in this series.
The ones off the top of my head, last week there was a disallowed try for the Wallabies with Suaalii.
Yeah.
And there was a kind of unarmed shot in the build up to that one.
Which was a no arm shot.
And I watched Whistle Watch, like Nigel Owen's show, and they've got Ugo Monye on that show for some reason nowadays. It just used to be Nigel with his cows talking about his opinions, but now they got
down on the phone
Ugo interviewing him.
Yeah.
And even those two, like with the Ben Earl one, were kind of like, Nigel was like, that's, the referee has interpreted it this way, and I can see why he's done that, which is a little bit fence-city, but he's kind of gone with it. And Ugo was like, I don't think it was a good call. I think it was
that's good.
Bad call. So 50-50, but you're right in that that one went for the Lions. Like, that's just one off the top of my head.
Yeah.
That was kind of a big call last week.
The Superman try.
The Superman try, again, it's some people would say, oh, obviously you can dive for the try line. Other people would say, well, obviously you can't hurdle or jump over players to avoid a tackle. Mm. It's a bit of both. I read, someone put it on Reddit, World Rugby's like clarification about like jumping over players for a try. And if that's what clarification is, then fuck, I'm not a lawyer, because it's basically just like, it comes down to the ref.
So basically it's interpretation and litigation on field.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the game needs.
The ref comes
and then so that one could have gone either way.
Goes for the Lions.
Personally, I think that's fine. I thought that was a try.
Yeah, it's
funny. I like jumping over players, though.
It's funny because
I just like the way it
you
looks.
And I like looked at the calls, and we kind of saw the two main ones from the second game differently. Like, I looked at the Superman try and thought, like, I've seen guys hurdle players to the line before.
Yeah.
Be given. But in more recent years, I feel like they have been a little bit tighter on hurdling players or jumping over players.
But hurdling is with feet first.
Yeah. But just either way, propelling yourself over other players.
I used to love it when they used to jump over rucks and stuff.
Yeah.
I love that shit. Yeah. It's dangerous. Yeah, sure. It's dangerous.
I could have seen that one being overruled.
Yeah.
But again, it's a 50-50.
If it was the Wallabies who did it, they probably would have got overruled.
You reckon?
Probably. I feel like there was a lot of just refereeing to the predicted result.
Whereas I saw the final clean out and I thought, it's close, but it's the kind of clean out that I see a lot.
Look, that's a flamboyant. I was just saying that to be rather on. But I don't know. Maybe I'm being super cynical when I say that. I don't want to believe that.
Right.
I don't think anyone does that consciously trying to cheat by any stretch of the imagination. But I don't know. Maybe it's just because I was bitter and was rooting for the Wallabies that I felt as though that would have got penalized. I just mean that in a way that, in a Murphy's Law kind of way, that it always shits on the team that you're going for, basically.
True.
But anyway, it is, I didn't have a problem with that try. The Jack Morgan Tizzano try.
You did have a problem with.
Well, I don't have a problem with it being a try if that's a try every other minute of a game in every other situation, it's not a penalty. Like, if, like, for the last 5 years, the way the game has been refereed, and I can't imagine another situation. Like, there's these tiny infractional infractions of the obstruction and stuff that is so hard to perceive, and they always call them back. They're like, well, technically he's make, and it's like makes zero impact on it. So there's zero common sense thrown shown to those calls. And
I get what you mean. I feel like whenever you hear the check after a try, the benefit of the doubt tends to go with the defending team. Yeah, like there's more likely, if there's a check, it's more likely that the try is going to get chalked off than awarded.
So
they'll find a reason to not award it, which drives people up the wall.
Yeah, and they very much go to the letter of the law. And they've been doing that for so long.
Mm.
So you look at
to the point where you hear check and you're like, fuck, when it's your team, because exactly. This is going to, they've got it for something.
You see that shot and you go, and they hear the check. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, it's going to be called off.
Yeah, Morgan Turinui, we had the Aussie comms. Morgan Turinui was 100%. He was like, there's high contact there. This is 100% going to get chalked off.
Well, he, like, Tizzano gets into a good position, gets there first. Jack Morgan, like, does everything he possibly can to go low because Tizzano's in really good spot over the ball. He goes, he tries to go as low as he can, but he collects them in the back of the head and the back of the neck. So the law is, if you make contact above the shoulder line, it's a penalty. And for the laws of player safety and all that sort of stuff. Like, is there anywhere else he could have possibly hit to get him off the ball? Not really. So, like, he was first player there, so he can go at it from any sort of angle. Was he the tackling man as well?
I don't remember.
Anyway, so there were a few people saying I was going in from the side and all that sort of shit. Maybe they need to look at that. But just looking on that pure incident, just on the way that was actually officiated, he's there first, he's over the ball, Jack Morgan comes in and makes contact above the shoulder line when the Jackling player is in a vulnerable position. It's, like, just, you can, like, I'm a neutral. Like, there's just, how else do you interpret that? So, is it a could have Jack Morgan done anything else? No. Was it a good clean out? In my opinion, yes. Should it be a penalty? In my opinion, no, it shouldn't be a penalty. Is it a penalty every other fucking time they do it? Yes. Because they do it to the goddamn letter of the law. If somebody deemed to be obstructing and he accidentally farts on the freaking defensive line, it's called an obstruction. You know, like, they have these super high-level technical 50-50 scrum penalties that get called all the time as well. Like, that one, in terms of what you see, what the picture is, it's all about pictures that we see, and when you slow it down, it looks more intentional than it actually is. It's just a penalty. Like, is it a shitty way for the game to finish? Yes. It's a shitty way both ways. Like, and if you go online, there's going to be a bunch of comments down below going, that happens in every single every single bloody ruck and stuff. It doesn't. Like, people do Hollywoods at every single infraction, and they get called back 18 phases later, and it gets called a penalty. You see it happen all the damn time. If that was in the fifth minute of play, it would have been a penalty. Like, it was game-defining, series-defining, and they didn't want to make the call. They bottled it. It's much the way that our man, who was it in 2017, bottled it when he didn't give the penalty against the Lions. You know, Russi thinks there were some pretty dubious calls for the Lions in that first test. You know,
so then we put Russi on this one. Well, the Lions get the calls. I've always
been a Russi fan. You know me. And then we look at, you know, the Superman try, the Suwali, like, dive, the grass cutter. Like, it's a lot of 50-50s. Like, it's you don't want to be, I don't think there's any sort of conspiracy going on, but it's pretty, I don't know. What do you reckon, Mark?
Oh, it's a good clean out. There we go. Yeah, I kind of thought it looked like a pretty decent clean out. Honestly, if you asked me, I would have called back the Sheehan try.
Yeah.
But I would have allowed the Keenan one.
What do you think would have happened? Like, does that get called? In the last 5 years of watching rugby and someone's saying, put your life on it, what are they going to call there?
For which one? The final one?
Yeah, the final one. No comms, no nothing. You see it get checked.
If as soon as I heard the check, I assumed, the Wallabies have got out of jail here.
Yeah.
Because like you say, that like 90% of the time when they call the check, they've found enough. If they're checking, it's probably going to be called back.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that they check and cleared it is abnormal.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, I just looked at it and I was like, oh, it's pretty...
innocuous.
Big clean out. I mean, it's not innocuous. Like, it was pretty close, but I thought, oh, he's...
You can clearly see him back of the head. I don't know if it was back of the head. It's definitely... Is it above the shoulder line?
It's kind of like there.
No. Jeez, man. He must have a really, really short neck. Like, well...
Yeah, he does.
He's
put on a few kegs.
I can pause the actual thing right there. Like,
do some yellow circles around it.
Yeah, like the bullet entered here, and then it went to here. No, but look, it was anyway. It doesn't fucking
matter.
Sucks
that we have to talk about that much.
It does suck that it has to. It, like
the game was cracking.
And you look online, it's the overwhelming majority of people are saying it was a decent clean out.
I don't know, man. Like I was live streaming the game, so I had a mixed audience, and it felt 50-50.
Yeah, I don't know. I
checked the Wallabies Facebook page, and guess what? People thought it was a penalty.
Mm.
I checked the Lions Facebook page, and guess what? People are like, what are the Aussies moaning about?
It's pretty bipartisan.
They're fucking going for Tizzano, being like the big Hollywood guy. But like you said it just before we started.
They all bloody
do it. It's a part of the game now.
They all do it. That's what anybody TMO who gets
hit anywhere near the head, they Hollywood the shit out of it. I don't care which team you're talking about. They all do it.
Yeah.
Your team does it. Our teams do it. They all do it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to give them an advantage.
It's the law of incentivized action. So you've incentivized these big reactions,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to do it because they want to get any advantage. And massive high-pressure situations, all our players in all of those situations would have done that.
Yeah. The only sport, and I've mentioned it before, that I know that they've actively and enforcing like the discouragement of is the NHL.
Yeah.
Even if you are like legitimately taken down, if you sell it, like I think they call it embellishment, if you embellish it, you are going to get pinged as well.
Look, I've got no problem with that not being a penalty, but it just has to not be a penalty all the time.
Mm.
But it's always a penalty. That's always a penalty. It really is. Like, it's so clear-cut. I just don't even know
whether... I don't know if it's that clear-cut, though.
It's...
Joe Schmidt in this post-match basically said, like, doesn't fit with their messaging they've been getting for all these years about player safety.
Yeah, well... And I think, to be fair, it's the
Was
most...
it Tom Curry or... No, Finn Russell said it was a great...
The one place you're not allowed to hit somebody in UFC, this is what we're comparing ourselves to now, UFC is the back of the head.
Mm.
And this is where the young man, Hughes, got killed when he was playing cricket.
Oh, the cricketer,
he got hit right in the back of the head. Your nerve endings are connecting to your brain stem. It's where it all happens. If you get hit hard enough there, you can get killed.
Big trouble.
Like you're, and so if there's anywhere that we need to protect more than anywhere else, it's the fucking back of the head. So in that regard, like, it's not really taking player safety into great account. Like... Yeah, it is what it is. Like, at the end of the day, it was a fantastic, fantastic game of footy. It's a real shame. It's not the Lions' fault. It's not the Wallabies' fault. And I appreciate there's multiple different opinions around the thing, which are mainly down bipartisan lines.
Mm.
I think part of the reason you see or most of the comments, I've checked out some of the videos, and most of the comments are like, not a penalty.
Mm.
I think a big part of that is oftentimes, I feel this when you're a New Zealander and there's some sort of call that goes against New Zealand or goes for New Zealand, we get drowned out in the comments section because there's very, very few of us. There's actually it's a small number of passionate
Aussie
enough.
Union market is not that big.
Aussie Union fans are going to comment on it. There's far more English, Irish, British and Irish Lions and fans. Lions. Fans that are going to comment online saying that was absolutely fine. Like, I don't know. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, I was trying to ask myself all day, I was like, if that was the All Blacks and that was
How about I put it this way to you?
Yeah.
If this was a match up against Fiji and that guy was Viliami Mata making that clean out.
Yeah.
On Jack Morgan, do you think he gets pinged?
100%. 100%.
See, that way, the Islanders, when we say that, I think I actually lean towards like that probably
gets pinged. The Islanders always get gypped. They always get gypped. They, like, well, I've got no reason to say that, but just watching rugby, there's some real famous games where the Islanders have been absolutely just assaulted by the referees. Like, sometimes their discipline can be a little bit off, but...
It gets exaggerated.
I'll put my fucking house on it.
Yeah.
And I don't know... Draw your own conclusions. It is what it is.
Such is life. We all have different opinions.
The fact of the matter is the Wallabies should not have put themselves in that position. They should have had better defense.
We should say this. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's what I mean about the game boiling down all to that one fucking decision. Yeah, exactly. Is the Wallabies were up 23.
It's a real shame it was in the 79th minute.
23-5.
Yes, playing
after like half an hour.
Yeah.
And for the remainder of the game, score a whopping 3 points. Now, if you're 23-5 up, you should probably be able to go on and win that game, especially when you're at home.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the opposition had a yellow card. You were playing with fire in your belly. I know Harry Potter had to go off.
Which is big. Big moment.
Which is big, because I mean, they had to put their friggin' replacement halfback on the wing.
Who actually added a lot of zip for them in the Sharp, eh? No, it's not Sharp. What's his name?
McDermott.
He added a lot of zip for them in the last 20 minutes. He was a big... He added a lot. So I was
as you pointed out when we were talking about earlier, he wasn't able to like hold up Hugh Jones with like that trial. Like there was a couple of... we were getting a bit of ahead of ourselves because like for the Lions tries, it felt like a bit too easy.
Yeah. They were able to go down there and score.
The Aussie defense felt like it's fine. As long as we are able to cough up 5 meters.
Yeah.
Like we can just keep soaking this up until they knock it on.
Yeah.
But
if we don't.
If we don't, we just keep getting pushed back and then.
And also get the scrum, gifting them penalties to get down their end all the time. And also just.
Big turnaround from last week. Game one, the Wallabies kept winning scrum penalties. So this week they were just getting friggin' hammered.
Getting hammered on the scrum. For me, the big factor of the sides is the. Wallabies have three quarters of a top international team. And the fact they don't have that last quarter, that's the bit where they get caught out in the last 20 minutes of games. Their forward replacements aren't able to quite do the job. They don't have enough in the tank to be able to combat the physicality of some of those other teams that really pride themselves with world-class finishes.
Yeah.
And they just get peeled apart, and they need to almost have a bloody 15 point head start with 20 minutes to go.
Because you know they're going to finish.
They're going to limp over the line.
That's right. It was concerning. Like I looked at some of the player numbers for the Wallabies because Valentini only played half the game.
Yeah.
He was only just back from injury, so maybe that was the plan because I noticed the Wallabies subbed both their props. They subbed Valentini at halftime, and they also subbed
Skelton at 47. Skelton,
47 minutes. Like, Valentini had 28 meters in the first half. So when he was gone, they were leaving it to, like Harry Wilson. Mm. Like, for the whole game, he had 13 carries for, like, 17 meters. Like, that's barely it's a meter and a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, whereas the Lions guys, like
grunt work.
Byrne was 34, Conan was 27. Like, even Stewart, the reserve tight head prop, had, like, 20-odd meters. The Lions forwards were just...
Charging through,
getting four, go for ball. Like I said, the Wallabies defensive line just kept, like, getting slowly driven backwards, which was fine, especially in the first half. Lions, a few loose passes, a few knock-ons. When they had the errors, the Wallabies were able to strike. But when the Lions started holding the ball, the Wallabies didn't have an answer ball in hand and then defensively just kept getting pushed back.
And the first half, the Wallabies were able to fight fire with fire with, you know, Will Skelton and Valentini's impact cannot be overstated. They were absolutely massive in the clean-out, the breakdown, the contact. They were able to get great front-forward work. And then we got the ability to see the likes of Jorgensen, Liner with a little bit of time. They were
backing themselves as well. When you were thinking they're going to kick here from the 22, like Tom Wright's like, no, I'll have a weak carry. Jorgensen, I'll have a weak carry.
Yeah, so good. Just that's having a little bit of momentum on your side with a pack going forward makes so much difference.
Yeah.
And like when they were on top and they were able to make it pay with, you know, quick tries to Gordon.
Yep.
Gordon.
We snipe from Gordon. A couple of penalties early.
I was thinking to myself at that very moment, you know, a couple of penalties early, get a little bit of scoreboard pressure, get a little bit of a buffer going. And then they conceded one from the Superman.
Yes. And the 5 meter tap.
And then Gordon gets over, and then the try of the series. undoubtedly to Wright, which was outstanding. Set starting up, with Jorgensen
with the weak carry.
Yeah, so nice.
From their own like kickoff receipt, basically.
And then you got to see why people like me who've known Suwaili from his league days and was like, just very go. Excited about good. Him. He's real good. Don't worry. Yeah. You just saw a little bit of his class. To me, I don't know if center's the right position for him because you saw him there and that's where he had just a little bit of room.
Yeah, give him more room. You think you get more value out of him?
You get more room. He's got great footwork. Mm. He doesn't have electric speed, but he's got good speed. And
he's tall. He's got a great offload.
Yeah, he's very athletic.
He did get a defensive. I remember at least Kinghorn skinned him one time when he came off the bench, and then somebody else skinned him at one point. So defending at 13 is a really hard one.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they persist with him at 13 or what, but I mean, when you see him, like I said, you should have said ball in hand.
He's a quality player.
Dude's a freak.
Yeah.
The right then try was very nice.
And they were just playing like...
Slipper got a try, which is unusual.
Mm.
He doesn't score many, but he freaking got one from close range after Nicky Tower had gone close.
Mm.
So bang, bang, bang. I know, like you said, the Lions had scored one from the Superman. Potter had gone off. Freeman had been yellow carded. So it was all going.
23-5 were in La La Land.
23-5. But the comeback started
pretty
much...
I was in the middle of texting you. I was about 2 minutes behind the game play by that stage. I was middle of texting you guy, they're playing, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
And then that's when I heard Matty go,
and what the fuck was happening? But the wheels fell off too quickly for the Wallabies.
The
first one is Liner, just dropping a simple box kick. I mean, people love to pile in on Liner because he played with a forward pack going backwards last week.
Yeah.
And then he drops a box kick this week.
He's pre-infancy of his international career.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he dropped that one, gave the Lions a bit of field position. They were able to convert way too easily.
That's the thing.
Then there's another one where the Wallabies just give away a silly penalty, like no arms tackle. Lions are able to kick down, get some territory. Oh,
we are awarding no arms tackles now, are we?
There you go.
Okay.
When it's against the Wallabies, Tony.
Oh. But, are you saying you're saying there's little...
But yeah, I mean, fucking Russell with the touch finders was incredible.
Yeah, he kicked very well, didn't he? Really well. And the way that the Lions were able to keep their composure during that and not 23-5
down, they didn't panic. They just hit back literally with two quick tries.
So it goes from
being 3-score game to, back to 1-score game. It's easy peasy.
Exactly. Do you want me to say something All Black arrogant?
Go on.
Kind of like an All Black team. You know, sometimes the All Blacks would go down early in big games. Back in the old days.
Before we get to the second half, let me ask you.
Go ahead. Ask me.
So this Lions team has just beaten the Wallabies in the first two matches. Yes. Neither scoreline was a big blowout, kind of like predicted. Like, they were both close-ish games. They took the 80th in this one, and they took, you know...
But they went by 8 points last time?
Yeah, so it was not a huge blowout. And the Wallabies are... They went into the series, before the series started, as the 8th-ranked team in the world. They're now 6th. If the Lions team currently...
How are they ranked 6th and not playing a team that's ranked? How are they gaining points?
Oh, well, they went up because other teams lost. Scotland lost in Fiji.
Oh, yeah.
And Argentina lost to England.
I am asking them right now.
You are. For world rankings chat.
Yeah.
They've just beaten the 6th-ranked team in the world.
Uh-huh.
By a 2-score margin and a 1-score margin in the last minute. Mm-hmm. Do you think this Lions squad beats New Zealand or beats South Africa if they were touring either of our countries?
I think they've got the quality too. Mm-hmm. I think the Lions are in themselves their own enigma.
Right.
Like something kind of weird happens to not only the Lions but also the team that's playing the Lions when the Lions series comes around. And that's what makes it so special.
Right.
I'm
being 100% arrogant New Zealander. I think we beat them.
You reckon we smoke them?
I don't know if we smoked them, but we beat them.
We absolutely smoked that, mate.
100 points.
Like a repeat 2005 kind of scoreline?
I don't know if it's 2005 I think we beat them. This is from the guy whose team just scraped past the French B team, but I still think we beat them.
I don't know, man. I really don't know. I think find it very, very difficult to compare. I don't think you can play rugby math with the Lions. I just don't think it works that way. I think there's something a little bit magic about the whole thing, and that's what brings out the best in you know, opposition teams, because they're like, what do you, you mean you're best from all of those countries?
You get up for playing the Lions.
And South Africa, New Zealand and Australia.
If you haven't seen Tony's video about getting the Lions together as a squad and the difficulties of it, check the link.
It's on your channel.
Yeah, look at me, I'm promoting your videos.
You actually made a comment in the last one going,
yeah,
you
I know, wasn't that nice of me? Did it get any views?
A few extras. Maybe six.
There you go.
Take it. But yeah, it's quite a magic thing, and I love the Lions. Mm. I love the concept. I really wish it was a little bit more traditional, and the fact that it was just the players that were like born and bred from that era. I think that's more true to the essence of what the Lions are all about. Mm. I just think it stands apart a little bit from the professional world, the professional rugby world. And I think that this Razor team is untested and unproven. And
so you don't really beat the Lions.
I can't say that they would beat the Lions.
It's me being the arrogant one.
Boom.
Look at that.
Give him some hate, bitches.
There we go. Yeah. There was a second half.
And you also think the staff is smoking as well, do you?
Probably.
Yeah, right.
I don't know that it's a 3-0 series sweep, but
I think all those series are tight.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Second half, I feel like the Wallabies needed more than the 3 points they got in like the first 15 minutes.
They need to play a bit of footy.
They just couldn't get any go football, barring that one like Tate McDermott carry where he made like 10 metres.
He bet two tackles.
Bet two defenders. There was very little going on with the Wallabies ball carry.
They were trying their tits off.
The Wallabies defence had no answers for that Lions.
Yeah.
Did I say Wallabies defence? The Wallabies attack had no answers for the Lions defence. The Lions defence was imperious.
Yeah, impenetrable.
There you go.
The defence was great. Their scrum looked phenomenal. The scrum was just a penalty machine.
Mm-hmm.
We really felt the loss of Skelton, Valentini.
Yeah. They did have one other chance where, like, Gleeson got into, like, from a box kick, Gleeson got into a gap with McCrae. I thought
Gleeson, of the replacements, Gleeson looked okay.
Yeah, that's right.
I like Gleeson.
And then Sualii kind of got smoked from behind by Curry.
Yeah.
And just knocked it on. That was their other kind of big chance where they needed something, but they didn't get more than the 3 points.
Yeah, McWright gave them a bit of a hospital pass.
Yeah, so the 26-17 did not prove to be enough.
Yeah. No, it did not. The scrum was a massive factor for me, that they were able to keep it in the back and then milk some penalties out of it.
Mm.
Another part of the game that I don't really like at the moment, but it is part of the game. And they were able, every time they got down into the Wallabies red zone, the disappointing thing if you're a Wallabies fan was how easy it was for the Lions to cross the line. There were a couple of times
Cezanne where won one good turnover on the goal line to stop the momentum. We thought, far out, the Lions are a sure try here, but they managed to hold them out. Like, I think Byrne had just scored, powering over Wallabies tacklers.
There were a couple of real paper mache kind of defensive efforts, and that's really disappointing considering how much effort had preceded those moments in the game. But the Wallabies were clearly out of puff and just holding on.
That's
it. And they'd stopped playing attacking footy, but didn't have enough front football, didn't have enough power in the collision to be able to get on the front foot. And the Lions, that's why they deserved to win, because they were the better team at that point. And they were able to get over the top of the Wallabies. They were, some of those defensive efforts when they really should have been at least held up.
Mm.
Or some really good defensive plays should have happened at that level.
Yeah.
Just didn't seem to happen. It didn't happen. And they were just able to, like, sort of, you know, convert their tries relatively simply, clinically.
Yeah. Felt like they were coming.
Yeah. They were, felt like the Wallabies had a high likelihood of getting chased down.
Mm.
And they did get chased down. And you've got to, you really got to give a huge amount of credit to the Lions and their ability to keep their head from a real dark position when they were completely on the back foot in terms of momentum, to stifle that momentum in the first. That happened it started in the first half when they got those two late tries.
Two late tries, 35th
and 38th minute. They were massive, and then the effort of the last 25 minutes was huge, and the Wallabies never looked like scoring really
again. Not really. They looked just, it was more like game one, first half, where they just had no answers.
As a neutral, you were really hoping that they were going
to
hold on.
I really, really, really wanted the Wallabies just to hang on.
Yeah. And the sad thing of the matter is...
Mainly because I wanted a big decider. Yeah, we wanted a decider. Now we got a bit of a dead rubber.
And I've been trying to ask myself, did I really think that was a penalty because I wanted a decider and I was supporting the Wallabies in this, as a New Zealander, supporting the Wallabies? Maybe. Maybe that's why I felt like it was a clear-cut penalty, because you've got to kind of question your own bias sometimes. But we looked at it before. All day I've been trying to talk myself, because I called you afterwards and I was like, bullshit!
Yeah.
Absolute bullshit!
Yeah, you did.
Robbery! And then I had 50% of the people, I looked at that part of your live stream going, he's right, absolutely. Bullshit! Fucking bullshit! Yeah. So,
that's the thing, it's just it's one partisan. Of those calls that people just did not agree on.
I'm still struggling to see how it's not a penalty. Like, it's above the shoulder line. It's anyway.
We'll see what Nige has to say about it on Whistle Watch this week.
He's the overlord of all things.
He will just... I bet you he says...
He goes on the party line.
I bet you he says, like, if you believe he hit him here, then it's a penalty. If you believe that he didn't hit him here, like the referee said, then it's not a penalty.
He never... Very rarely comes out and goes, he got it wrong.
Yeah, he does occasionally if it's pretty blatant. But if it's... Some of the calls in rugby are honestly just down to the... Like the Superman try. Like, if you think that he's legitimately just diving for the line, it's a try. If you believe that he's deliberately trying to kind of like dive over players, then I think there's grounds for a penalty. So just how you look at it.
I thought to myself, it's not a penalty. Don't be silly. He's diving for it. Yeah. And I was like, let's put
our boys. Made the line.
And it was, he was definitely jumping over because he'd actually taken.
Smart play.
Because he'd actually taken a penalty from almost the exact same spot, a tap kick.
Yeah.
And like gone low.
So this time he switched it up. Bit of a trick play.
But he's jumping over.
100%.
Yeah.
Like I said, the World Rugby clarification about it is clear as mud.
Yeah. So what does that mean? Like, where do you defend? Like,
that's the thing. Yeah. Well, they also, like, that law also allows for tackles in the air in that situation. Because if you're allowed to dive for the line, you're allowed to tackle a guy in the air because he's allowed to dive. Like, otherwise, you would not legally be able to stop him. So, rugby laws are just fucked, really.
Yeah, it's all fucked.
It is all fucked.
Mate.
But the Lions have won the series. How do we see game three going? Do both teams switch it up?
Now we don't give a shit.
Do both teams switch it up? Or do like the Wallabies go full strength to try and get the, you know, the face saving?
I'm holding a 2CG when I'm saying this. I'm struggling to care.
Do the Lions go for the sweep?
Of course they want to get the sweep.
But they don't just give everyone a test? Because a lot of guys wouldn't have had a test.
Who cares? It's done.
It's the Lions. I don't have to every 4 years.
I know, but like this is the thing. It's really stolen my thunder.
Next week's episode.
Imagine how much, it's on my channel. Watch it, everybody. I'm going to be pumped.
You're really selling it.
Watch us talk about a dead rubber. There's nothing else to do.
I think we are going to have an interesting sponsor next week, just FYI.
Oh, fantastic. Love it. Yeah, watch it. We'll get it all week. We'll get, it's still a chance to put on the green and gold jersey. We feel like we've been right
on the cusp. When was the last time the Lions had a sweep? Like, they haven't had a win since the last tour of Australia.
I don't think
that wasn't a sweep.
I don't think they've ever had a sweep. I can only tell you results since.
We swept them in 2005.
Yeah. Easily.
Yeah.
None
of those games were close.
No. Especially this. The first one was very controversial. More controversial than
that. That was the Brian O'Driscoll one.
Imagine these days. We speared him into the ground. Those guys have been gone for 12 weeks.
No, it's totally fair.
I've watched the 2005 coverage, and you hear like some of the New Zealand pundits going, Tana has been absolutely unfairly criticised by the English pundits all week this week, been under fire. This must be so satisfying for him, you know, and copying all that stuff. Totally unjustified. And you're like, what the fuck were they watching?
They fucking smashed him.
He fucking speared him into the ground.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe time gives you a bit of a little bit of objectivity.
Do you remember the guys from, I think it was Pulp Sport? They got the autographs, they got a civil union agreement, which is like a same-sex marriage thing over here in New Zealand.
It was so long ago, and it was before same-sex
before
marriage
it was approved, so they had the cup, the civil union partner.
Yeah.
And then they asked for Brian O'Driscoll's autograph and he signed it, and they asked for Tanu Mungo's autograph and he signed it, and they actually signed each part of the civil union agreement, so they're technically like married here in New Zealand, at least if they filed the paperwork.
They have a civil union.
Yeah, not marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was like 2006 when they probably did that gag.
Yeah. Good times. We're old.
Yeah. We remember things from years ago. All week we're just here. It's like the chance to we've been written off and we've put so much effort into this green and gold jersey, and the Lions will be saying,
but it's very deflating. We want the sweep.
Yeah, the Lions will be saying we want to make history. We feel like we haven't touched the surface of our capability, all this sort of stuff, and the Lions will probably play and win. I think this is the one that we've been saying, the next one could be the one where they get pumped. This could be the one. If the Lions go up early, it's going to be really, really hard for the Wallabies to get up. And it would be so cool if it was actually meant something. Mm. It really would be. But it's a dead rubber. Anyway.
There is other rugby coming.
The Women's World Cup.
The Women's World Cup is on the way. How much are we going to do on the Women's World Cup?
Because it's ladies' night. I reckon we do a full ladies' night episode just to fucking, like... do it again. Our worst ever rated episode was Ladies' Night.
For the last Women's World Cup.
And it was well, we were quite psyched about it. It was in New Zealand.
We were really enjoying it.
Yeah, and we'll do a Ladies' Night after the first few.
People have been asking me, what are you going to do about it? I think I'll have to cover some of the games, but...
It sucks. Like, I've seen you copping quite a bit of shit where people are saying, fuck the algorithm, Mark, cover it. And you're like, oh, okay, man. Okay, so if you in your job, like, say if you're a builder, instead of like doing this multi-million commercial job that's commercial project that's gonna bring in shitloads of money, go build a fence for this old lady, because it's the right thing to do, and she's been waiting for that fence for a really long time. And you're like, yeah, it feels good. But it just doesn't pay because at the end of the day, no one watches the shit.
That's the thing, yeah.
It sucks. We'd love to talk about it more.
There's a lot of people who are interested in women's rugby.
But they don't watch our shit.
They don't watch our channels.
Yeah.
Not really.
Nobody watches my show.
Yeah, some people do.
Well, yeah, some do.
Except that guy who's like, when I see Tony, I go watch something else.
I like that guy.
He's a cracker. Yeah, the NPC is also coming.
Yeah, and Baywatch.
Yeah. We're going to be following the Battle of the Bays with intent this year.
I can't wait to see Harbour pump the Hawke's Bay.
Here we go.
Yeah. I've got yes.
Maybe we should go down to McLean Park in Napier at some point. Napier's kind of a drive, though.
I used to, I had dealings with the Hawke's Bay people.
That's right. I used to work for a company based in the Hawke's Bay.
And they were people. Human beings. Some actually lovely people.
There you go.
But also people. Hence my disgust for the Hawke's Bay. It's a beautiful area. Lovely people down there. It really is. But stick it up your ass, Hawke's Bay. All right. Okay. Ruby Tui didn't make the squad.
That's
anything
right.
else?
Yeah. I mean, all the squads have been named for the Women's World Cup.
When does it start?
Soon.
Like within a fortnight?
I think so. That's...
it's England's for the taking.
England are such heavy favourites.
They were pretty heavy favourites last time.
England are so far ahead on the world rankings.
It's the highest any...
That I think for them to take any points off anybody else, they basically need to be playing like the next two teams, like second or third in the world and away from home. Otherwise, they just can't take points.
Seriously.
They're so far ahead of everybody else. It is... Like, however good you think the All Black squad that won back-to-back World Cups were, like the Richie and Dan Carter era... They were not as far ahead as the English squad is in the women's game.
And so they'll really, really be wanting to.
And they're at home.
So
they should piss it in, really. But nobody cares in this
channel.
Why
am I knocking on wood? I don't want them to
win. I will try to do some videos about it. If you've got any tips on players to watch, I need all the help I can get.
Help us out. I'll help you out. We're going to have a ladies' night. You look really excited by it.
I just get a bit crestfallen when when we get pumped about the women's rugby. We really enjoy the game.
Yeah.
There's some cracking tries, and then you like upload it, and it's like, I got 300 views.
Yeah, we actually.
And YouTube's like, oh, fewer viewers are choosing to watch this yeah, video.
That's what it says. Maybe don't do that again. It literally will say, if your video really sucks and doesn't do well, it'll say, don't do that one again.
YouTube only wants. Yeah. Successful, like
exactly,
yeah.
But if you do a thumbnail saying, "Does Rossi have the world's biggest cock?" and then you get freaking 300,000 views, it's like
more of that, please.
Whatever you just did, then do it again and again and again and again.
That's why you see some channels kind of like the focus narrows,
yeah. It becomes
whatever's the hot button, yeah, topic.
Exactly. What's going to get those people to click? Just parting the kimono for you there a little bit.
This is. Human nature.
YouTube chat. Good stuff. All right, Mark. Well, we had one game of rugby to cover.
Oh, there was the other one against the First Nations team. It was closer than expected.
Was only like 6 points in it or something?
It was kind of like the Lions B team.
Yeah.
So.
Nice work. The B team from a side made up of four nations seems like still.
Should be a still pretty good team.
Yeah.
100%. Some of those guys who played for the First Nations team have played like three games against the Lions, like for their club.
Yeah.
And then for, what was the other team?
Australia,
New Zealand team, and then this team.
Like, I'm sick of playing these guys.
Fucking hell.
I'm sick of telling people.
Three times to one tour. Jesus Christ. I've just got three fucking Lions jerseys I traded. I don't know why more of the pricks. Fuck these guys. I'm sick of
telling everyone how special this is.
Yeah.
Big thank you to Max from Ruck and Rack Rugby.
For the beers.
Appreciate it. Go get your jerseys.
Yeah.
Mother truckers.
Use the code for five. It's down in the description for 5% off.
Yeah.
Worldwide shipping.
2 cents five.
Not distracted.
Nothing to do with me. I'm just here.
This guy. I bring you the discounts.
I do not. I was trying to get my own code in there to bump the prices up.
There you go.
Yeah, distracted plus 10. Yeah, use that if you want to pay 10% extra. Anyway, thank you, Mark. Well done. Thank you for watching.
Take care, folks.
Bye-bye.